Hi, Sunshine. I'm Natasha, your host for the Shine Online podcast and the founder of Soul Studio. In this conversational podcast, I interview the brightest entrepreneurs I know with the goal of empowering you to do business in a way that feels real to you. These conversations will bring you no fluff advice, honest discussions, and actionable strategies to help you shine online. There are so many bright brands in the online world, but there's always room for one more. Let's shine together. Today, I have with me Molly, and we're going to be chatting all about digital products because she is an absolute pro. So thank you for hanging out with me today.
Thanks for having me, Natasha. I'm really excited.
Woo! I'm excited. So I want to hear a little bit about your journey and kind of how you got started, because I saw your bio. I saw you talking about you made $80,000 in 2020 just from digital products, which is super nuts. So how did you get to where you are?
Yeah. So I started my business journey about 4 years ago when I quit my last job, and I laid out all my options. I was like, okay, I can either find another job that I probably don't like, which probably not going to happen, or I can spend the next 5 years trying to build out my own business and figuring things out. And honestly, part of me, I don't know if you feel the same way, but part of me is like, I can do this. And then the other part of me was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if it's going to work out. But it's like, well, I feel like option A of working for someone else wasn't going to work out. So I just like went with this better option. And my first 2 years were really rocky because I went into it not understanding business, not understanding operations, not understanding systems, not understanding, like, I knew what mindset was, but I really, really struggled with it on like a very deep level. And I would say that the last 2 years have been really good. And it wasn't because I wasn't working on my business in the first 2 years. I just didn't understand like the business and operations part. So I think after I figured that out and after I realized that I can outsource some of my tasks and like letting go of my, you know, trust and control issues, then things started to take off.
Right. And I think that's something that a lot of entrepreneurs face, is like you go into entrepreneurship and you don't realize that like all of your like childhood traumas, like yep. your work trauma, like all those mindset issues are just amplified. And you're like, I actually have to deal with these. I can't avoid them.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's so smart that you were just kind of like, I'm just going to go with this option, see how it goes. And so I'm curious, you kind of already hinted at it, but like, what was one of the biggest mistakes you maybe made on like your first digital product and when you're getting started? And what was something that you actually were like, I did really right in the beginning?
Yeah. So really quickly on, I realized that in order for people to want to buy from me, my description had to be really good. My delivery process had to be really good, and just everything had to be laid out. So on Creative Market, I just like created these product previews so people can see what they're clearly getting. And later on, I realized, okay, I have to tell people that they have to buy the font if it's not included. So just really laying that out. I realized that I had to have workflows in place just before I created my first template. So after that, I was like, okay, let me just refine my workflow, refine like the back end of everything, because it's not just about the front end of selling.
Right. And I think that's really important, because I think a lot of people think of like the actual content that goes into the digital products, but they don't think about, you know, what is the process that they go through. So like, how have you kind of like tweaked that? And like, what are some things you've added to your workflow on the back end now?
Yeah. So my workflow is, first, I just brain dump everything, and then I start organizing and I start creating. So workflow for me goes from product validation to product creation to putting together a launch plan, a sales plan, and then getting feedback from customers, and then refining it if it's something that I plan on selling again and again evergreen, or if it's just something that I'm like, this would be helpful for people right now, but I don't see myself selling in 2 years.
Right. And how do you feel like you make the differentiator between something that's going to be evergreen for you or something that's kind of more seasonal and like a one-off thing?
I kind of just fill it out. I see how many people are interested in this. I kind of do like a cost analysis of, is it worth doing a big launch again, or do I just want to have it on the back burner because I've already created this thing that people can buy?
Right. That totally makes sense. And as for launching, like how have your launches evolved over like since you first started? Because I know like you've launched a lot of different products. I'm sure it's changed and evolved with you.
Yeah. So honestly, my first launch, I read this book called The Science of Selling. I didn't even read the whole book. I just read like part of the book and I was like, okay, I think I'm ready. And then I just went into it. I didn't like understand the process of like the sales process or, but I also think that my audience was like warmed up enough to me where right. I had some people tell me, they were like, I was just waiting for you to launch something.
Right.
And I feel like Pinterest was the right thing because a lot of people at the time didn't know how to use Pinterest, but they knew they wanted to use Pinterest.
Right.
So now I do have a sales process of like nurture and I understand like cold leads, warm leads, and how long it takes someone to warm up to you and all of those things. And then also doing a debrief. So now after every launch, me and my team member do a debrief of like what went well, right. what didn't go well, what I like doing. And I feel like that's the biggest thing with launches is thinking about what you actually like doing because everything works, right? Email marketing works, Instagram works, Facebook groups work, but what do you actually enjoy doing? Because I'm a huge believer in the path of least resistance. If you're resistant to something, you're not going to want to do it.
Right, exactly. And I feel like we see that so many times as marketers. People are like, well, I don't want to do this, like, but I have to do it, don't I? And I'm like, you don't have to do it. Like, that sounds horrible. Like, that's yeah. why you became an entrepreneur, to not do. And of course, there's things you don't love doing as a part of entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. But I think launching really should feel good because your energy is just so important around it. And it got me thinking, like, one thing I feel like you really have been sharing a lot on your socials is how you've really built your life and your business around, like, what you truly want to do, which is digital products. So can you kind of tell me a little bit about how, like, you were like, I just want to do digital products. I don't want to do this right now. And, like, how you actually made that happen and avoided all those, like, things you feel like you should be doing as entrepreneurs.
Yeah. So actually I went into digital products because I didn't know how to sell high ticket because I was really nervous on the calls. Like I could get the call, but I couldn't ever close the call. And then, you know, when you like can't do something over and over again, you start to doubt yourself more. And so it's funny because a lot of my friends sell high ticket and I sell low ticket and they want to sell digital products, but then they're like, I have to sell so many. And then I'm the opposite where I'm like, I just rather do a launch and get a big cash injection rather than like having to constantly, you know, be selling or be providing services. And for me, I realized that I don't necessarily like doing client work because to me it feels like a job. And I'm like, well, there's a reason why I didn't go the job route.
Right.
I feel like a lot of entrepreneurs, you know, go into their business wanting time and money freedom. And a lot of them have neither. They're working all the time and they're stressed out and they're like, they don't have money. And for me, I just realized I'd rather earn less, but have more freedom.
Right. And it's scalable too. I feel like that's the biggest thing between services and products is like, there's only so high you can go with high ticket. Like you can only retain so many clients. You can only have so many monthly management, you know, those types of things. I feel like in a lot of ways, like you might be making less at first with products, but you have more momentum to go up.
Exactly. There is so much potential. And that's what I see when people talk to me. You know, they tell me that they want to create this thing. And then 4 months later, I'm like, so where's the thing? And, you know, it's important to have your business running. But at the same time, if you don't do things differently, if you don't like set aside time to create those digital products, if you don't have a workflow or a process in place, if you don't know what you're doing, you're always going to be providing services. And some people love that. But I just personally, I don't know, I never enjoyed it.
Yeah. And I think for me, I definitely saw a lot of the things you experienced. And I think that there definitely can be a balance because I think a lot of people are like, I love being a service provider, but I want to scale my income. So I feel like products can like play their way into any business. And I'm curious what you think, like if someone's like, I want to create my first product, like where do they start? And what are some of your like favorite types of digital products? Because I think it doesn't just have to be like an ebook or a course. There's like so many options.
Yeah. So I always like doing an analysis of someone's life and, you know, how much income do they want to bring in? And are they currently in a 9-to-5 or do they have an audience or, you know, do they know how to run ads? Because there's so many different factors And I know a lot of people online are like, this is my way. It's my way or the highway. You know, you see like Facebook ads where you're like, this is the only way. And I'm like, no, that's not the only way. And you have to take into consideration of where someone is at in their business, also emotionally, like how much energy they have kids, all of those things. And so for some people, I'm like, if you're willing to go the longer route, you can create things at a lower ticket price. If you want to bring in more income, then you probably, you know, have to work a bit more. Maybe start with like a group coaching program that's live and then you turn that into a course. But mm-hmm. if you've worked with enough clients and you know the process and you know like what comes up for them and how to solve all of their problems, then you can probably dive in straight into a course. It really depends on like so many different factors.
Right. And that's a good point is I think that a lot of people, if you already have some type of process, like, and you are a service provider or you have a, like, you know, maybe a physical product, chances are you can share your process or your insights into, you know, a course format. And yeah, I'm definitely biased to courses. I feel like you can add so much value and communicate in such a great way because there's so many different things that can go in a course. But I feel like one thing that I honestly haven't seen a lot of people do well is membership. And you do it so well. So tell me about that, because I think that's one thing is like, you're like, am I going to get enough people? Like, am I going to get burnt out of creating for it? Like, how do you manage and scale your membership?
Yeah. So before creating my membership, I actually thought about it for 1 to 2 months because I know I have a tendency to just dive into things because I get so excited about them. And I looked at other memberships and I really knew that there was potential in there, but I also knew that it would take me time to build my membership. And I feel like that's why there a lot of people struggle with membership because they have so many other offers that bring in so much more money in the beginning. And I see this problem with a lot of service providers, especially high ticket service providers, because you are like, I can earn this much amount of money. But the problem I see with membership is there's not a lot of money in the beginning. There's a lot of work. There's not a lot of money. So you feel like you're like, is this worth it? And you're like, can I get more people in here? So when I went into it, I was like, okay, I'm going to give myself the grace of 6 months of building this out. Kind of like when I started my business, I knew that it was going to take some time because there's a learning curve. Also, I saw like repeat buyers, right? For other things I have sold. So I knew that like there were people who were going to want this membership. And so I decided that now was the right time. Really making sure that when you create your membership, the first month, I feel like it's the most crucial month because you're setting the intention, you're setting the culture, you're mm-hmm. setting the community. If you want people to show up for your membership, then you have to show up for them first. And I actually like DM every member individually. And I'm like, how are you doing? Is there anything that I can help you with? So that they know that I'm actually there for them. Because for me, even with courses, like I try to DM everyone, not always. So if you're listening to this and you're like, you never DM me, I'm sorry, I tried. But I think if you are willing to go the extra mile for people, they're willing to go the extra mile for you.
Right. It's almost like people, it's like with energy with launches, like people can sense if like mm-hmm. it's a chore for you to create for the membership versus you genuinely wanting to just create a community, which is the most important part of a membership.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, so good. I'm curious about the tools you use because I know you like Kajabi, right? Or no, do you use Kajabi?
I recently switched over to a new platform called Aspire Builder. Ooh. Previously, I was using Kartra. So when I first started creating digital products, I started out on Creative Market and then Creative Market takes 30%, well, now 40% of your cut. Wow. So then I switched over to Etsy and then I like sold my Pinterest course on Squarespace. And then I sold my Instagram course on. So I've used like all the platforms.
Yeah.
And something to keep in mind for people is that I think when people are first starting out, I see people either want to go like the scrappy way or they want to set up to scale. And for me, I personally think that there's no right or wrong option. It's again, looking at where you are in your business and in your life. And do you want to scale quickly or do you want to grow quickly? And I think it's fine if you want to grow your business slowly. I do. But yeah, so I use Aspire Builder to host all of my courses, my membership, and then I use Slack for the community. We started out with Facebook groups, but then people told me that they get distracted on Facebook. So then we switched over to Slack and then we use Zoom to host all of our calls.
Oh, that is awesome. I feel like that's like the dream team of tools. Yeah. And I one thing you touched on that I want to kind of dive into more is you're like, I want to grow slow, which I feel like is a very unpopular opinion is that we see so many people talking about all these high income moms, all this growth they're seeing in a business. But I think people don't realize all the scaling on the back end you have to do to support that. So why is that kind of the route you're going of like slower growth?
So I do have a lot of friends that have grown really quickly this year, but then I talk to them and I feel like they're always stressed out. They're always on their verge of burnout, you know, and for me, I went into my business thinking that I was going to be the only one working on my business. And so I've always been like a do-it-yourself kind of person, but I do plan on outsourcing. I just like know that there are other things I have to work through first, like my communication issues. If you're listening to this and you're like, why does she have so many issues?
But that's honest. Like we're talking about mindset, entrepreneurship, team building is a whole other, speaking to people, giving feedback, like it's hard.
Yeah, because I'd rather just like go slowly than crash and burn, because I know I get really excited about things and I know that like I'm probably going to quantum leap during seasons of my life, and then other seasons of my life, people are going to be like, she's like a turtle. And I think I've really become okay with that, because you do online, you see all of these multiple six figure, seven figure, eight figure by X age, and that's amazing. But then I ask myself, I'm like, what do I really want? And at the end of the day, I really just want time to myself. I really want peace. I have enough money to like do the things I want to do. And for me, that's enough. That's good. And I know that I'm still working towards something bigger. So it's not like I'm not ambitious.
Right.
I'm just like, I'm okay with taking my time and enjoying the journey.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, it's kind of makes me think of like relationships. Like you find this person you really like and you're like, I want to get married. I want to have babies. I want to get a house. And like all of that are really great things. But then once you get to them, you're like, why didn't I enjoy that scrappy season, that different season? Because if you're rushing and always thinking of what next, you're never going to be fulfilled with the life part of your business, because you're not just your business. If you pour everything into it, then you're like, well, then I'm just overwhelmed and burnt out. And it's just like,
Yeah.
So good. Let's talk about Clubhouse, because we didn't plan it, but we're talking about it. So I want you to recap, what is Clubhouse and what have been your thoughts as you're like adopting it and going on to it? Because it's still super new while we're recording this.
Yeah. So I love Clubhouse. I spend about 4 to 7 hours a day on Clubhouse.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's very easy to do. Like, that's not that's a hard thing.
It is very easy to do. So I've heard a few different ways of explaining Clubhouse, but for me, it feels like a live podcast, or like when you're at a party, you know, people have different conversations and you can either go into a room and stay on the outside, or you can be an active member of the conversation, so being a speaker, or you can start your own conversation, so starting your own room, or you can like invite your friends to start a room with you. So those are your like co-hosts or moderators.
Right. Yeah. I definitely agree with that description, because I've like heard of like the audio only drop in. I'm like, that doesn't click with me. It's literally like, it's like what we're doing if we didn't edit the show and you guys like could hop in and ask questions pretty much and join in.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, like, what do you think about, like, what is this going to do for marketing in 2021? Like, have you started to see results? Do you think it's worth all the hours you're putting into it? Like, I'm curious.
I'm excited that we're recording this podcast today, because I literally just signed my one-on-one coaching client and she paid in full. And if she's listening to this, I think this is what happened in my mind. So she filled out my coaching application on my website, and then I DM'd her with a voice memo, and she said she had a few questions. She was going to take a day or two to send it over. And I spent a lot of time creating my own rooms, and she was in the audience and I didn't notice, right? I was just giving someone advice, and I was like, sometimes I check like Instagram while I'm on Clubhouse. And she told me, she's like, I'm in your room right now and I'm ready to book a call for tomorrow. And then we talked and she just had a couple of questions and she's like, okay, I'm ready.
So she wasn't like an Instagram follower. She
was, but I feel like hearing my voice just made it so much quicker. Cause you know how we talk about like the nurture phase? Clubhouse just cuts out so much of that, because you can feel someone's energy. You can feel someone's personality.
Right.
You can hear someone's like voice.
Right. It builds a deeper connection. And because it's like you're only listening to their voice. Like, I feel like that's kind of one of the things I love about podcasting is like you're just tapped into a conversation. And it is unedited and there's like all these different perspectives and people can give advice and there's like panels and Q&As. So that is really cool. So yeah, so you got a one-on-one client from
I also got a one-on-one intensive client from it too.
Nice. So yeah, so it is working for getting you leads. So
yeah.
And do you think it's like warming up your current audience that came over from Instagram, or do you think that it's like tapping into a totally different audience?
I feel like it does everything. So people have followed me on Instagram because of Clubhouse. People have joined Clubhouse because of me. They're like, I'm in this Clubhouse thing because of Molly. And I'm like, okay. Because I talk about it all day, every day. I'm like, here's the room I'm in. Come join me. So yeah, I love it.
So good. And I'm curious, like, what are your tips if people are like setting up their profile? They're like, how do I be a part of Clubhouse? How do I use it and make sure it's strategic too? Because I've seen a few wrong things. Like when people kind of like raise their hand and become a speaker and then they just like pitch their business and then like ask the question they didn't even want to ask. And I'm like, okay, this is not the point, but I've seen a lot of good things.
Yeah. So I would recommend the first thing. So this is what I did when I got on Clubhouse. In my first hour, I optimized my profile. I looked at other people's profile because I was like, in Clubhouse, you can write a longer profile. So I looked at some other profiles. I'm like, okay, what I like, what I don't like. And I knew that even if it wasn't going to be the perfect bio, I had to have a bio at least. And I was like, I'm going to fix this later on. But if I'm going to be following people and they're going to be looking back on my profile, it has to tell them what I do, who I help, like all of these things. So after you optimize your profile, I always tell people follow number one, people in your industry. And then number two, follow people that are your ideal clients or customers, because the way Clubhouse works is that it shows you rooms that the people that you're following are in. So right. That's why you want to follow other people in your industry, because they're going to join rooms that they see other people in. But then you also want to follow your ideal clients and customers, because then they're going to come back to look at your profile and they're going to come into your rooms. And so it's important to like follow both of them.
Yes, I agree with that. I think that was definitely a learning curve I heard people talking about, where it's like you want to curate who you're following, because if you're following like a bunch of your personal friends and they're not talking about entrepreneurship or business things, that you probably aren't going to be seeing the type of rooms you want to see.
Exactly. Yeah.
And what about like actually being in the rooms? Because you've talked about a lot. You're an introvert, but like you thrive in this setting. Like, explain this to me.
Everyone has said that. I'm like, in the beginning, I was like, I don't like group settings. And they were like,
what are you talking? It is a group. It's literally a group setting.
So I kind of like push myself out of my comfort zone. And I feel like that's one of the things as a business owner you kind of have to do, even if you don't like it doing it. And trust me, I do not like doing it. But when like Instagram first came out, when Tumblr first came out, when like all of these other social media sites first came out, I was an early adopter, but I never understood the business part of it. So when I heard about Clubhouse, my friend told me about Clubhouse, and then I went on Facebook and literally every other post was about Clubhouse. And I was like, okay, if I'm friends with these business owners and they're talking about Clubhouse, then that's where I need to be next, because this is going to blow up. Mm-hmm. And so within, I think the next day or two, I got my invite from someone. Actually, we used to play Neopets together.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, it kind of feels like it's full circle of like the internet phase. And yeah, so when you're in a room, there's different types of rooms, right? You can host your own room, you can join a room. And I realized that I don't really like joining the big rooms. Mm. So as an introvert, I do like one-on-one connections, but it's hard to have one-on-one connections on Clubhouse because you're like in a group. So my strategy is I'm going to go in a room that's like maybe 10 to 40 people, and I'm going to connect with one or two people. And so that's my intention going into the room. And then after that, I DM them on Instagram and I'm like, hey, I heard you talk about this or that, or like, I can also connect with like this or that. And what I did in the beginning was I invited a lot of people to be on my panels. And so I just like kind of brought people together. And now I like to have smaller rooms. So now I like to mod is like a moderator. I like to mod or co-host with one or two other people so that I still have a chance to talk, because when I'm on a panel with like seven other people, I typically don't speak up because I'm like, wait, when can I like,
I know it's hard to like, you know, get in there. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would say like test out different rooms and see what kind of room style works for you. Some people like being in the big room. Some people like starting out their own rooms. I say do a mix of everything until you kind of find your groove.
Yeah. I think that's a really great tip. And I'm curious if have you found like the more impromptu rooms that you've joined or the scheduled rooms, like do either of those you feel like work a little bit better for you?
It's so funny because I find that I normally don't join scheduled rooms, even though like I know when they're happening, but I kind of like just being in the moment and being like, okay, what kind of like what kind of room do I want to join? Because otherwise, if I join scheduled rooms, I'm literally never leaving Clubhouse.
Right.
They already don't leave Clubhouse.
Yeah. So I got you. So you kind of just like pop in. And I think that's how a lot of, because you have to think of the consumer perspective if you don't want to speak. Like, how are people consuming the rooms? And a lot of people I've heard, like, which seems like kind of like a hazard, but maybe it's not. But like, yeah, I just like go on when I'm driving or I'm going for a walk and like people just do it while they're doing their things, kind of like they're podcasting almost.
Yeah. Well, hopefully if they're driving. So what I do is that I, when I set my GPS, I turn on, so I have to commit to a room, like, because I don't, like, I don't touch my phone when I drive. I can't, I don't know how people do it, but I can't do, like,
we can't recommend. We do not recommend.
We do not recommend. Do not do this, but yeah, so.
Oh, that is so good. I feel like I gave a lot of tips. One small tip that I found, and I'm curious if you started to notice this too, is I feel like that first line in your bio is almost like the most important one, because it's like what people see when they like tap on your little profile when you're in a room.
Yeah. So the first three lines are really important. So I would say when you're in a medium-sized room or a big room, tap on other people's profile and see what captures your attention. And then also you can A/B test to see like, you know, what would capture your attention. So
yeah, I completely agree with that. So many good nuggets. And I want to kind of end things off of just like, what do you feel like has been like one of your biggest lessons when it comes to growing a business specifically related to digital products, online services? Like, what do you feel like is one big lesson that listeners can learn from?
My biggest tip or lesson is to honestly just get started, and people are going to listen to this and be like, what? I was expecting a better tip, but I talked to so many people and that's their biggest problem. Like, they don't get started. Yeah. They overthink, they overplan, they overanalyze. If you're overdoing anything, you should have just done it already and you probably would have gotten like some results.
Oh yeah, that's a mic drop right there. Whether it's showing up on video, like I know when Reels happened, you were first on that. Like Clubhouse, just do it, show up. You kind of, like, I think a lot of people think that you have to like figure it all out before you do something, but by doing something, you're figuring it out, literally.
Yeah, I have so many typos in my copy. And sometimes people point that out, but I'm like, well, at least I, you know, I did it.
I showed up. I put out my thoughts. If you didn't look at the typo, there's probably something really good there, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I'm like, there was value in there, but if all you saw was a typo, then that's cool too.
Yes. And I feel like that's like the perfect message to go along with like whether people are like wanting to create their first product or they're wanting to hop on the newest social media platform is just to like do it and know that. Honestly, entrepreneurship is just like a big old experiment and figuring out what works for you.
Exactly. I agree.
So good. Well, Molly, let everyone know, where can they join your Clubhouse room? Where can they connect with you on Instagram? And where can they work with you and learn from you?
Yeah. So actually my Clubhouse handle is Digital Products, because I'm an early adopter. I was like, I'm going to
snagged it.
So I was like, it's perfect that we're talking about that on this podcast. Awesome. But on other channels, they can follow me at Molly Hill Studio. My website is at Molly Hill Studio. If someone like wants to work with me, all of my information is on that website. And I actually do have my membership. So if anyone was like listening to that part and they're like, I want to join her membership, it's also on my website at Molly Hill Studio.
Awesome. Thank you so much for chatting with me. This was so fun.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much to today's expert guest for joining us. If you want to connect with today's guests or check out any of the important links mentioned in the show, I've linked the details in today's show notes. Join the conversation at #TheShineOnlinePodcast. Be sure to subscribe and leave us a rating if you love what you've heard today. We really appreciate it and it helps support our show. Remember, regardless of where you're at in your entrepreneurship journey, there's always room for your biz to shine. I'll see you next time.